I'd like to invite you to turn to Hebrews chapter 11 with us again as we get back into our study on the subject of faith. The Bible, of course, talks about saving faith. That's necessary in order to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." But Hebrews chapter 11 teaches us that faith goes way beyond salvation. Once saved, we should live by faith.
Amen.
And we're given many examples of men and women, Old Testament saints, New Testament saints, who lived their life by faith. You stop and think about, we sang about the old rugged cross just moments ago. You stop and think about those who were before the cross, those who were in the Old Testament. How were they saved? By faith. Same way that those after the cross were saved. Not a different set of circumstances. They looked to the cross for salvation. Those who come after the cross looked back to the cross to obtain salvation. So it's all about the cross.
Amen.
And that's where our faith needs to be, in the finished work of Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross for us. And so we move beyond saving faith upon receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, and we apply faith to situations in life as we make progress in the Christian life. And these men and women serve as examples in how we are to do that. We've entitled the subject of this series, "The Inner Workings of Faith." I saw where it too is being posted on the website. Holly has been very busy working. If you go to the Our Ministries link on the Victory Baptist Church website, it'll bring up several different links, and one of them is an audio-visual link, and there you'll find the audio sermons that we have delivered from the pulpit here, not all of them, but getting quite a list of the series that we have been involved in here as of late. And the inner workings of faith is there, and we have seen in Hebrews chapter 11 that faith is very diverse. When you get into the inner workings of it, you see that there are many intricate parts that should develop in the life of a Christian. The illustration I gave in the beginning of the series was that of an automobile. When you open the hood, you initially see an engine, and beyond that, a lot of us don't see much. But in that engine, there are spark plugs, there are pistons, there are rings, there's a cam, and all of those things, while they're unseen to the eye, are necessary in order for that engine to work properly. And in order for the faith of a child of God to function properly, these elements need to be a part of your faith life. And so by looking at the examples, we have observed that there's an offering of faith in Abel there in verse number 4. Faith ought to offer something unto the Lord. We ought to be willing to submit, as he did, an object that is an excellent sacrifice unto the Lord. We saw in Enoch in verse 5 the testimony of faith, and it's been several weeks since we've been involved in this study, so we're just reviewing very quickly here. Enoch shows us that faith has a testimony. Our testimony ought to be that we live a life that pleases God, that satisfies the Lord, that honors Him in all that we do. A testimony like that defeats death and gives us victory over even things like death. It determines our delight and defines where our destination will eventually be. The Bible says that Enoch lived such a pleasing life unto the Lord that he took him. He translated him. He did not have to taste death. He was ushered into the presence of the Lord. Well, what a testimony. We saw through Noah in verse number 7 that there is the protection of faith, another element that we ought to come to understand. Faith protects us from unseen dangers and provides useful direction in our life, just as it did Noah as he was instructed to prepare the ark and his family was saved. We saw in verse number 8 the example of Abraham, and the element there is the obedience of faith, how that we ought to be willing to commit to following the Lord, how that we ought to have a character that is fashioned by the Lord and choose to do things that please Him. In verse number 11, we saw Abraham's wife as an example, Sarah, and we come to see that faith has a strength, the strength of faith. Even in her old age, she was able to bear a child and bring forth a miracle. And we all need to come to the place where we realize one important aspect of our faith is it provides us strength to overcome the difficulties of life and see miraculous and great things happen in our life. I call your attention tonight to verse number 20, where we're going to see what I call the advancement of faith. The advancement of faith. Let's look at three verses in particular. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 20, the Bible says, "By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones." I want you to consider the advancement of faith with us for just a few moments. The Bible talks here about men, by way of example, who passed on their faith to their children and grandchildren, who encouraged them to be people of faith as well. The Bible says that Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. It came a point in Isaac's life when he knew that his life was about to be over, and he called his sons before him, and the Bible says that he blessed them concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. And then Joseph, when he died too, made mention of the things of the Lord and how he had seen God work, and he gave commandment concerning his bones. All these men are examples of people who advanced their faith before others, people who were responsible to pass on a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to future generations. The Bible is very clear that fathers are to teach and lead their families to have faith in God. That's an awesome responsibility, and it's not easy fulfilling that responsibility. God gave the clear command in Deuteronomy chapter 6 when he said, "These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto their children." So God wanted fathers to be responsible for advancing faith in their children's lives. However, we're living in a day when fathers have forsaken their responsibility, when fathers have become neglectful in their responsibility, and fathers who don't know how, as a result of not knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, to pass on any faith to their children. So it's left up to the church, it seems, to the religious leaders, to the youth pastors, to the preachers, to the school teachers. And we don't have very many school teachers who are willing to do that either. But fathers, according to the Word of God, are to bear the responsibility of teaching their children to love the Lord and to serve Him. Because fathers have chosen to become absent in a lot of homes, the mother is left with that responsibility. And bless her heart, she does the best that she possibly can. And she calls upon the church, being willing to help all that we can, to see that faith is preserved in future generations. You saw a generation of young people before you tonight singing, "There Will Be Grace." I appreciate the fact that they're getting the faith that is being passed on to them through their parents and through their leaders. I appreciate the fact that they're willing to accept that baton of faith and carry it forward. The Bible says that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. We're all going to come to the end of this life as we know it. And the question that I want you to consider is, are you passing on your faith to future generations? Does your life reflect faith in such a way that it inspires your children and others to trust God with their life? Are you being an example like Isaac and Jacob and Joseph were before their children and grandchildren? I was listening to the prayer requests that were being given here moments ago, and in light of the message, this thought came to my mind. I was so impressed, not to brag on any individual, and I know that she understands how to accept this properly, but I thought about Sister Mary Lou and how she made mention of the three children being saved, children that she had went out of her way to talk to about the Lord in her neighborhood. She could have stayed in her house, stayed in her yard, and not been concerned about them. But because she's soul conscious, because she has a burden for the lost, she went out of her way to find out whether or not they knew Him as their personal Lord and Savior. And when she found out that they didn't, she showed them how to be saved and heard them pray the sinner's prayer. What a blessing. And then I thought how she ministered to her co-workers, not just getting involved in her own work, but taking the time to let them know that she's a Christian and she cares about people, and showing them compassion and telling them, "We have a church that has a prayer list and we'd be glad to put their name on that list." That's speaking volumes. That's passing on faith. That's advancing faith to others. And the question that I asked you a moment ago, I want you to consider seriously before the Lord tonight. Does your life, does our life, reflect faith in that manner? Is it revealed in such a way that it inspires others to trust God with their life? Or does our life message contradict faith? Does it cause people to doubt whether or not our faith is sincere and genuine? Does it cause others to say, "Well, I'm not interested"? We ought to be like these men in the Scriptures and like Mary Lou that we've mentioned, being interested in advancing our faith. If you will, allow me to share with you a couple ideas from this passage of Scripture. I think it'll help us all to see how we can go out and do that. We see, first of all, in verse number 20, that the person who lives a faithful life is able to pass on the blessings of faith, is able to pass on the blessings of faith. The Bible says in verse 20, "By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come." The word blessing is a great word. Defined, it means to speak well of. It means to invoke a benediction upon. It means to give prosperity to. It means to encourage good to come to another individual. And here we see that the Bible tells us Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in that regards. He wanted good things to come to them. Faith in God brings prosperity into the life of the believer. Fathers must be cautious not to short-circuit the faith of God in the hearts of their children by failing to bless faith with their words and action, to demonstrate faith in word and deed before their children. And here is a man whose name was Isaac who was willing to do that. As a result, we know that those two boys pursued faith in different manners. However, Isaac did his part in blessing both of those boys. When God uses the man who is the spiritual leader of the home to bless his family, then faith will fill the family. Proverbs 28 and verse 20 says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. Amen. Homes represented here tonight want to abound with blessings. Amen. Brother Scott, don't you want to pass your faith on to Alan and Zach? Brother Steve, don't you want to pass your faith on to Tommy? And there's so many of them, I can't keep track of them. But I know that you do. And Brother Kendricks, I know that you're trying to pass on your faith to your children. And no matter how difficult it at times seems to be, we must stay faithful to it. We must realize that it's important to do. We must lead in that area. And if we stay faithful to it, then the Bible says that blessings will abound. Fathers take great pride in being the protector of their home. They are the ones who, it seems like, the children turn to when they awake at night as a result of a bad dream. They go to them for comfort and encouragement. They go to them because of the fear that has filled their hearts. And Daddy is there to reassure him that he'll take care of them, that he won't let any harm come their way. They play a big role in protecting their families, and they should. I don't know of any dad alive who would let an intruder come into their home and harm their children. They do everything within their power to protect their family. They wouldn't make it easy for them to get in. And that's the way it is in regards to one who possesses faith. We ought to be protecting future generations by passing on, advancing our faith before them, going to great extremes, whatever measures are necessary in order to see that that faith is passed on. I'm not talking about just saving faith, but a faith that will preserve and carry our future generations through the difficulties of life. Isaac protected his family by passing on his faith. We see that faith also blesses the future. The Bible says that he spoke of concerning things to come. Isaac, by faith, spoke to each of his sons concerning their life that lay before them. Jacob sought to steal the blessing from his older brother Esau. He dressed like him and tricked his father and cheated his brother out of the birthright. That's recorded in the book of Genesis. However, we see that Jacob eventually chose faithfulness to God. After he wrestled with God and was blessed of God, his name was changed. He turned his life over to God, and he became the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. Esau, who became bitter even though he had been blessed by his father of concerning things to come, eventually forsook the faith of his father, faith in God, and later he was known as Edom, his name being changed too. And he turned to paganism, the worship of false gods, only to reap the judgment of God. So as faith people who should be responsible in passing on the baton of faith, we need to make sure that we are doing it in the right manner, that we're blessing our family, and that we are providing a great future for them. Faithful fathers bless their family and leave behind them for them a blessing. And then faithful fathers produce a legacy of faith. In verse 21, look at what the Bible says. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention. No, that's verse 22. That's why I need these glasses on. Verse 21, by faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. How you think those boys learned how to live a life of faith? How you think they learned how to be an example of what a believer ought to be? They heard the stories of Jacob, and they heard the stories of Joseph. The Bible says that he revealed these things to them as a result of worship. They saw by example how important it is to look to the Lord, how important it is to recognize Him. What do your children see you do in regards to worship? Do they see you read the Word? Do they see you spend time in it? Do they see you pray? and talk to God on a personal basis? Do they see you trust the Lord to provide things for the family, things that you personally need? Do you brag about God? Do you praise the Lord in their presence, letting them know that God is good and that God deserves that kind of praise and recognition? Our children need to see that. Our children need to come to understand that God wants to be that personal to them as well. How else are they going to learn unless we show them the example through worship? Amen. If you say, well, I don't choose to do that before my children, that's a personal thing that they'll develop, then I think you're leaving out a very important opportunity to teach them something that will carry them way beyond the time when you're long gone and you're unable to be there to support and encourage them. They need that faith. Can you see Jacob leaning upon the top of his staff, as the Scripture says here, relating things to those boys, telling them about the victories that he had obtained through the Lord, telling them what he had personally witnessed as a result of his faith in God? What a challenge that must have been to those boys. What an encouragement it must have been to them. The great stories that he shared with them, how God had brought him and his people through the wilderness, how he had protected them, how he had provided for them, how he fed them manna in the wilderness, and how he used Moses to take a rod and smote the rock so that they could be refreshed. Those boys, I'm sure, have you ever had the opportunity to sit and just share stories with your offspring and for them to just get so absorbed in it that they don't want you to quit? I'm sure that's the way these boys were. Tell us more, Grandpa. Tell us more so that we can appreciate the God that you served and the God that we're attempting to serve as well. I remember when times in my life growing up, Dad would call us as his children to his side, and or individually he would set us down and he'd begin to give us instructions about specific things. And things that he thought were important, things that he felt we should know. And I always remember that when we forgot those things and he had to call us to himself again, that he was always so patient. He was always so forgiving. He was always so understanding. And I think that's the way Jacob must have been as he attempted to pass on a legacy of faith to his children and grandchildren. There were things, no doubt, that they forgot. But as he leaned upon his staff, I believe he was so patient in encouraging them to be a people of faith themselves. He produced a legacy of faith by living as a godly example before them and living with integrity before them. He gave instruction that helped them to become people of faith as well. And then we see here in this passage of Scripture that faithful people also prime the commitment of faith. They prime the commitment of faith. Verse 21, the last part of it says, and that he worshiped leaning upon the top of his staff, and as a result, by faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, the very same stories that he had heard, and gave commandment concerning his bones. We must prime the pump of commitment in the hearts of others as well. We must encourage them to live their entire life out by faith, just as these men did. How do we see our young people picking up the faith? How do we see them carrying the torch that they will have to carry when we are gone? We need to share our faith with them every opportunity, and we need to remind them of how important it is to live their life by faith. I want you to be much in prayer for our youth group, for our young people, for our children coming up in the church. They're in a bit of a transition right now in both areas, in junior church and in the youth department. In the junior church, we're seeking some much needed leadership, additional leadership, to give some direction so that our young people are more faithful in their attendance, so that they look forward to coming each and every Sunday, so that there is a program that interests them, that excites them to consider faith in the Lord and taking it beyond salvation. It's not all about fun and games, I realize that. But the Bible stories and the things of God can be given in such a way that it makes it interesting for the children. And I believe if we can get those things in place, then we'll see the attendance grow in that area, and we'll see some real growth spiritually in the lives of our junior age children. Our Sunday school teachers are doing a very adequate and thorough job, but once they leave the Sunday school hour, they go to the children's church. We need to know that the same lessons are being carried on and that the same truths are being presented. And so pray with us about that. In our youth department, there is a bit of a transition taking place as well. Brother Tim and I have been talking about some things that he felt needed to be changed. And he asked for my advice and counsel about how those things ought to come to pass. And we prayed and discussed several options. And he has begun to inform our young people about those things. And I want you to just pray that those young people will be accepting of those things, that they'll take them to heart, and that they'll begin to apply them in their lives. Some things are relatively simple. And some things probably don't make much sense to a young person, and they say, well, you're just nitpicking. You're not letting us have any fun. Things in regards to dating, things in regards to dress. You understand where I'm coming from? And without going into much detail, the group that was before us tonight was a little bit smaller than we've become accustomed to. One of the changes is that you don't have to sing in the youth choir if you don't want to. A lot of the young people that were coming were causing a problem for Brother Tim, Miss Kaylee, as they tried to lead the choir in learning new music and singing for the Lord. And the discipline that was being administered didn't seem to make much difference. A lot of the parents really, honestly, could care less about whether or not their children behaved in church. Honestly, a lot of those young people's parents were just glad to be rid of them for an hour or two on Wednesday night. And Brother Tim said, what do we do, preacher? And I said, well, I think people that sing ought to want to sing for the Lord. It ought to come from their heart. And that only will come that way because of their desire to please the Lord. If they're being forced to sing or made to sing, then the message is not going to be genuine. It doesn't mean anything. And it won't minister to others. And he said, well, I agree. He said, what should we do? And so we decided that they don't have to come to sing in the choir if they don't want to. They can come once choir practice is over. They meet early for that. They can come and be a part of the rest of the program Wednesday evening. But they're not going to be a burden and a distraction to the others who want to sing for the Lord. I can appreciate that. He also spoke to them about their dress. I had noticed that a lot of them, I think in large part because summer was upon us and the heat is obvious, that they were just coming dressed as they had been earlier that day, and maybe being outdoors in the heat, they come comfortable, and that meant shorts and tank tops. And we know that a lot of them have better than that, and so our encouragement to them was, come dressed for church, come representing your Lord and the standards of your church. You don't see the preacher coming in short pants. Not that I wouldn't want to. I think the temperature's just about right. I'm enjoying the present heat wave. Now my wife thinks differently, and you possibly may too. But I think it's just about right. Some of you are dying in here, even though it's air conditioned. I saw some of you earlier fanning yourselves. And I'm just thankful that we have a little bit of air conditioning to provide for those of you that are like that. But you can understand where we're coming from, I think. And a lot of the young people don't understand why those things are necessary. And they say, well, if that's the way it's going to be, then I'll just quit coming. Or they want to cause another problem, continue to come and cause another problem. So I want you to pray for our young people in regards to passing on the legacy of faith, the baton of faith. This is going to be their church someday, real soon. If the Lord tarries and we're called home to glory, they're going to carry on. They're going to be the light that is to be represented in this community. There aren't many churches like Victory anymore who have standards, who believe that it's important for the message to be presented in a right manner. I want you to pray for our young people. And I want you to be a part of the process that primes the commitment for them to carry on in the faith. Take them under your wing. You say, my children are grown, and preacher, the message didn't mean a whole lot to me tonight. Well, here's what I think you ought to get from it. Be a spiritual grandparent to the young people in our church. Take them under your wing and support them and encourage them. And share your personal faith with them, and it'll help them to come to the decision that Brother Tim is encouraging them to come to, preacher wants them to come to, and that our church desperately needs them to come to. The Lord needs someone to carry on, even after we're gone. And I pray that, you know, I look at our young people differently. I said this Sunday night. I look at them and I see a 10-year-old, a 12-year-old as being the next preacher of Victory Baptist Church, as being the next song leader, as being the next Sunday school teacher, as being the next responsible leader in our congregation. Somebody's going to have to fill the shoes. Christine Sanders went home to be with the Lord this week. Others have departed recently from us. Somebody's got to fill their shoes. And we're looking at a great group of young people who can do that if we encourage them to pick up the faith and carry on.